The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And you may be seated. And we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Good morning. Well, today we're talking about baptism. And it's a neat story because it's actually a story where Jesus was baptized in the old way. And that became a new way because of what happened. But what I want to point out to you guys today is our stained glass windows, because I realized that they are kind of telling that story. So look at them for a second.
That's my
boat. Mm-hmm. Can you look at the picture? You see the picture on the window? And do you see what's in the middle? Who is that? That's Jesus. And in the story, Jesus was being baptized by John. And in that moment, there is two other symbols that are part of this story. There's God.
My Jesus book at home.
You got your Jesus book at home? Good. So do you see the hand over there? That's the hand of God. Like from far away. And then you have Jesus, the Son. But what's the other one? What kind of bird is that? A dove. And if you heard today's story, the Spirit of God descended down. Now, why I like this picture is because it looks like the two ways that God is there in the story other than Jesus have like a net. And they are scooping up Jesus in that net, telling us all that God is connected to the Spirit and to God the Father or the God the Creator in that moment, and they're all connected into one. Well, here's the thing, that net, we are baptized in a new way. It's baptized into Jesus. It's almost as if when we touch this water, and this is what I invite you to do in a moment, we mark a cross on our forehead to remind ourselves that God is with us through Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit and God, the Creator, the Father, are there connected with us. And so when we are baptized into Jesus, we are baptized into the Spirit. We're baptized into all of who God is because God won't let us go. So can you guys come up and stand up for a second? And I'm going to hold your sister if that's okay so she can be a little bit higher. Okay. You can put your hand in the water. Want to put your hand in there? No. Here, then I'll get your hand, and I'll do you first, and then you can get down, okay? But then everybody else, can you come up here and put a finger in there and mark a cross on your forehead? And can you pray with me? Dear God, you love me, and you are always with me. Help me to share your love. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. And as you come forward, I remind you that a lot of times it's in back, but that's part of the reason that we do that. Simply mark the cross of Christ to remind ourselves of our own baptism, of the promise of Christ Jesus that God is with us, that the Spirit of God will not leave us. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Pastor Lita and I have been working on a youth gathering, both middle school and senior high, that's next weekend. And somehow we got in charge of it. So behind the scenes logistics has been happening for quite some time. Phone calls, checking all the numbers, making sure everything's good, getting those leadership teams. And there's the big things, but then there's the little things, not little in importance, but little as it's easy to miss until you're up there. Pastor Lita calls me as I'm working on my sermon. In fact, I was, right before she calls, I'm reading the Isaiah text. And I'll tell you, that's one of my favorite texts in the world. And I'm reading those words, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The waves will not overcome you. I've called you by name, you are mine." Beautiful, beautiful words, and I'm thinking about how I want to speak to you about baptism. And Pastor Lita calls, not thinking about that, but says to me, "Any ideas on where we can get a baptismal font for the use at Estes Park next weekend?" And, you know, it's a tangent, but not a tangent, and I love tangents, and I love to brainstorm. So I sat there for a second with her. I was like, "Well, okay, what could we do?" "Well, we could bring our baptismal font." And Pastor Lita's like, "Yeah, you know, it's a very nice baptismal font. You could actually bring it. But Michael, you're talking about baptism this week. You're going to take it away from our worshiping community the very next weekend. I don't know if we should do that. Plus, it could break with 300 youth there." And I think she was right. So I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's throw that one out. Let's not take our baptismal font up there. What about a baby pool?" And then I answer my own question. No, as soon as we bring that up there as a big, huge baptismal font, somebody's going to sit inside of it. And I said that out loud to Lita, and she says, "Yes, and that somebody would be you." But then I just kept going, and I was like, "Well, we could do a lot of things. I mean, this shouldn't be an issue, right? Because if we can use a baby pool, if we can use that, we can use most anything, right?" So I started thinking about all those things, and I actually just had a lot of things in my mind, so I thought I'd put a few things up here for you, because I really was. I was thinking, well, at every table, at every spot, you could have a little bowl. And then I was kind of joking about it in my mind and said, but it doesn't have to be a bowl, does it? If at the last second we forgot, we could get cups from the cafeteria and bring those up and have that be a baptismal font. And you might be saying to yourself, that doesn't seem very holy, but let's talk about that in just a moment. And so, you know, I thought, well, if the cafeteria has that, it probably has pitchers. We could do that. And then I thought, well, yeah, again, cafeteria became my theme because that would be very available to us at the YMCA. It's right above where we will be worshiping. And I thought, bus tubs, that would work itself, wouldn't it? So all of these things I put up here, not even thinking that Pastor Lita finally mentions, "Michael, don't we have those nice bowls somewhere?" Oh, yeah. We could use those things that actually look like baptismal fonts instead of all these things that are up there that don't look like baptismal fonts. And yet that kind of stopped me. In fact, as we're talking, as we finished the brainstorming, I returned to my sermon, and I realized, here it is. Here's the message. We have all sorts of containers. Ones that look beautiful, ones that look functional but out of place, ones that look like they don't belong at all. And suddenly I see the baptismal message for each and every one of us. The vessel we use, the water we use, doesn't really matter where it's from, what it even looks like. Because the story of the water is not the vessel. The story of the water is that God used this water. The story of this baptismal story is God's actions, God coming down. In a lot of ways, I think we're like these baptismal vessels, aren't we? Our story is not truly all the things that we do. It's God's actions of love, caring, forgiveness, mercy that come to us. If I was shopping for a baptismal vessel, but it was you instead, can we just transfer that message over? We look around and we might choose one of us to be the perfect baptismal vessel. How would we choose? The one that looks the most holy? Well, we might, because that's what we do, right? That's a human thing. We might look at the one that's done the most works and say, well, that would be a good one. And I could see why we would choose that too. But there's something to be said about the baptismal vessel that sometimes holds garbage. And there's something to be said about the baptismal vessel that just doesn't look quite holy enough. And there's something to be said about the baptismal vessel that really is very functional in sharing water and using it that way. And there's something to be said about a baptismal vessel that was made to be held by children. And there is also something to be said about something that draws us into the idea of something beautiful and wonderful beyond our hopes and dreams. The reality is, all of these things are our human reasons, though. And finally, we know that God will use all of these things, that God will use each and every one of you, and that sometimes when we get caught, we're focusing on the vessel and not the love that the vessel carries. In baptism, you are called to deliver God's promise, to tell the world that when they pass through the waters, that God will be with them. When you pass through the fire, that it will not consume you. Such a beautiful text. Again, I keep returning to that text instead of the gospel itself when I think about this baptismal story. And something that happened this week in Bible study, I think, is the reason why. In Bible study this week, which, by the way, they've started up again, Thursday nights, or Wednesday nights, you can come at 5:45 or 9:30 on Thursday mornings. Love to have you join us for that. But we read this text from Isaiah, and Susie Smith, who's here right now, she shared a story of a funeral she went to. The funeral was for a woman who had drowned. And she thought about this text, saying to herself, well, goodness gracious, the waves, they will not overcome you. And yet, that's exactly what happened, isn't it? Does this mean that when the waves literally overcome you, break you down, drown you, that this is an example when God's not there? Is this an example? Is this like an asterisk, a loophole to the rules? But Susie answered her own question. She said something to the effect of, you know, it was then that I took comfort because I realized that this meant that those things where we see everything being lost, where we know everything that we have that we value in life is taken away, the one thing that is not taken away is the love of God. That God is with us no matter what. And that though the waves can overcome us as we see it, they cannot overcome the God that has us and is with us no matter what. It's not lost. And the promise of God in baptism is not a perfect life, is it? It's important that we remember that. And that's the danger of always having the most holy of objects, that we can lose the image of that object that we would consider a little less holy, but in God's eyes, perhaps as important, if not more important, because it can reach into the places, it can go to the places where something that is inherently holy is not always allowed to be or not accepted. Here's the thing. Go back to our vessels. Let me put them back up here on the altar so we can admire them and maybe find the one that fits you in some way. I think the reality is they can all fit us in some way. We're all these vessels. We're all different shapes and sizes. We all serve different functions in the world. And we've all been judged, good and bad ways, in what we do. We've all been put in our place, told where we belong, where we don't belong, what we are, who we are, how we should be. Today we remember that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, and through Jesus descends upon us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. The only thing that's clear is God is with us in our baptismal promise. And through our baptismal promise, and only through that baptismal promise, that is the reason we are holy. And so whether we serve children or clean up the mess afterwards, no matter who we are, God loves us. And I'll tell you what more. Who you are, there's somebody out there in the world today that cannot relate to the holy vessel, but can relate to a lot of the other vessels. And God knows we need all of you, exactly who you are, to help the world see that who you are is loved by God. And therefore, maybe somebody out there will look at you and say, I can relate to them. This Spirit of God that comes to them, I want to know more about it. This is the season after Christmas where we still celebrate God with us. Let's remind ourselves that the story right after Christmas goes to baptism, that God is with us and promises never to leave us. And so each and every time when we walk into worship, we have this opportunity to remember that this is always and forever. The waves will not overcome you. Do not fear. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen.